Revelation flashes, God's voice in thunder peals. We're polishing our armor and gathering our shield. We're setting up our standard, we're making our wall strong. Responding to our destiny to bring down Babylon.
Greetings, friend, and welcome to Trumpets of Truth International Boot Camp Part 16, where we will be wrapping up our series on the fivefold ministry, which we also know as the hand of God or the government of God. And this one is on the teacher. And this is by Apostle Jacqueline Fedor. As we examine the last finger on the hand of God that represents the office of teacher, we find that they, along with the apostle and prophets, are to be the first brought in when the foundation of a new church is laid. 1 Corinthians 12:28. And God has appointed these in the church, first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, administrations, variety of tongues. Teachers can be found in all walks of life, not just ministry. There are dance teachers, school teachers, music teachers, etc. Their gifting, whether used in the world or in the ministry, can be elevated to a much higher level if they are in the church, where they have access to the presence and anointing of the office of teacher. See, we have a need for holy teachers. In this end time, as truth is being released through the apostles and prophets, there's an even greater need for holy and bold teachers to bring the newly revealed message to the world to satisfy the hunger of the remnant. There are many teachers caught up in religious bondage, or even false teachers out there, however, and we must be able to recognize their fruit. A word of caution. God says in the Word that we are to judge people by the fruit of their life, but think about this. We must be close enough to the tree to be able to judge its fruit. How can we judge the lifestyle of someone that's on the radio or TV, or even in the church, unless we are around them daily and in all circumstances and situations? Many of today's compromising leadership think it's perfectly okay to have a few drinks, smoke a few cigarettes, or read risque magazines. Who's going to be the wiser if they keep it hidden? How many have secret relationships God does not approve of? They are perhaps homosexual or adulterous. Believe me, there are a bunch of deceptive people out there, and many are behind the pulpit. But they don't fool God. They can fool people that cannot judge their rotten fruit, but because they can't see what is done behind closed doors. Here's what God says about this deceiving leadership. Matthew 18:6-7. But whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were drowned in the depth of the sea. Woe to the world because of offenses. For offenses must come, but woe to the man by whom the offense comes. We must be very, very careful who we learn from. You see, teachers teach what they know, but reproduce what they are in others. We must therefore know our teacher's lifestyle as well, because what they are will be reproduced in us. Now let's talk about false teachers. Much has been said in the past about the false prophet, but really there should be much more emphasis placed on evaluating the false teacher. A teacher that will knowingly feed the flock moldy bread, not caring at all that revelation knowledge is non-existent in their classes, is not one chosen by the Lord. God constantly reveals truth, and He expects His people to be fed that truth so they can mature, become the truth, and be eventually restored to His image. 1 Corinthians 15:49 explains this. And as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly man. So there must be teachers who are willing to be fed by the revealer, so that they in turn can feed the flock. This is not to say that there should not be foundational teachings for the new ones, But God's people simply cannot stop there. Hebrews 6, 1 and 2 instructs, "Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God, of the doctrine of baptism, of the laying on of hands, of the resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment." Note all these subjects are considered elementary. See why the church as a whole is so lukewarm? These subjects are about all they teach. We must move on to a deeper knowledge of God and His plans for the kingdom and the total restoration of His people. Neither the false or lukewarm teacher is one bit concerned with end-time knowledge, however. Let's talk about religious intellectuals. Much of what is taught in today's church, unfortunately, stems from man's intellect rather than revelation from God. Sadly, as stated before, teachers teach what they know and reproduce what they are, so more and more intellectuals have been birthed. The result is, therefore, self-esteem and self-awareness and self-worth, causing the sheep to be self-righteous and self-reliant. Life is all about them, all about self, rather than God and His people. Now here's a fact. Where there is no revelation, there will always be intellect. 1 Corinthians 3, 19 and 20 shows us how God feels about the world's wisdom. It says, "For the wisdom of the world is foolishness with God. For it is written, He catches the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knows the thought of the wise, and they are futile." Unfortunately, the natural gifting that is on the teacher called to the office, whether true or false, will drive doctrine, good or bad, into the people, and for this they will one day stand before God for their tainted message. Examples of teaching a tainted message are the teachers that advocate peace, peace, when there is no peace. Or they lull people into a false sense of security by teaching such doctrine as once saved, always saved, and the rapture theory. What about the Trinity they teach and Christ's birthday, or what we know as Christmas? How many people today will get fighting mad if you suggest these theories and false doctrines are just lies not even found in the Bible? And they aren't. The fact is, there are many teachers that will compromise truth to tickle the ears of those that do not want to change. 2 Timothy 4, 3 and 4 speaks of this. It says, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers," usually they hire them, "and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables." There are more people that want to talk about God, but walk like the devil, than those willing to be shaped to the Lord's image. Teachers like their paychecks and will not fight the system that pays them. Therefore, false teachers flourish, while there are very few true bold ones called to the office that have the courage to speak truth. The false apostle and prophet. While we're on the subject of false teachers, let's rabbit trail a little bit and go on to discuss the false apostle and false prophet. The false apostle and the false prophet knowingly teach perverted truth as revelation and use their gifting for their own gain. They structure huge man-made ministries, build denominations, and recommend and stand with hired leadership rather than establishing God's kingdom based on His direction and His chosen government. The false teacher gives credence to these false prophets and apostles and teaches the lies they perpetrate as well. Those who make themselves apostles when they are really ministers of Satan are found in Revelation 2:2 to be despised of God. It says, "I know your works, your labor, your patience, and that you cannot bear those who are evil. And you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars." The false prophets are described as ravenous wolves that look like regular sheep. Jesus speaks of them in Matthew 7:15. He says, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. 2 Peter 2:1 tells us about the false teachers that will feed destructive information to God's people. It says, "But there were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who brought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction." So how are the true apostle, prophet, and teacher chosen? When a person is truly called into any of the fivefold offices, they will be called out by prophets from the body of Christ, and not necessarily just by the believers around them. If God wants to bring His prophet, apostle, evangelist, pastor, or teacher into full-blown universal ministry, it's no big deal for Him to bring outside, well-known and respected prophets and apostles to the ministry, where He is raising them up to give them this call and impart the anointing to be activated. So to recap, there are two things that need to be present before one is ordained to actually sit in an office. One, we should have at least two or three calls from the universal church before we step into those offices. And two, most importantly, the anointing of God must be evident on our lives so the body of Christ can see the fruit of our ministry. When you read Paul's letters to the churches, you will notice that most of the time he refers to himself as Paul, called to be an apostle. And finally, after 14 years of ministry and the fruits of that ministry made evident to the body of Christ, he refers to himself as Paul, an apostle. So choosing your leadership, choose it wisely. See, people can fool you. They can look nice, act nice, and say all the right things. But remember, it's by their fruits that we are to judge them. We are to judge the fruit of the Spirit that is at work in them, and not by what they are in their flesh. Fivefold ministers will demonstrate the fruit of the Spirit found in Galatians 5, 21 and 23 in their everyday life if they are indeed guided by the Holy Spirit. And the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. Plus, take a look at the people that are faithful to the leadership in question. What are they like? In other words, did they produce a people that are loyal and faithful servants? Did they produce ones that have a real love for God and truth? People do not really know about and love God if they are lukewarm towards truth, or if they are unloyal and divisively come against God's people. The Word says, if you do not love the brothers you can see, how can you love a God you can't see? And again the Word says, by this they will know that they are my disciples, that they have love for one another. Love must be evident in the people if it is Jesus operating through them. He is truth, He is the Word, He is wisdom, and above all, He is love. Now you have to remember, lies will always attack the truth. Perverted leadership and their followers will many times attack those that are teaching truth and perpetuate lies concerning these faithful ones, causing division in the body of Christ. They ruin the validity of God's true ministers, causing the sheep to fall because they think their leadership is not worthy of their trust. This is especially so when a hard truth requiring change is brought forth, such as, we must walk separate and holy. The false minister likes walking just the way they are, and usually walks with one foot in the kingdom and one foot in the world, so they will encourage and allow the sheep to be compromising in their walk as well without warning them. Jesus, however, tells us, if our walk is too easy and no changes are required, we are probably on the wrong path. In fact, He, the teacher of righteousness, taught the correct path has a very narrow gate, and there but are few that enter it. Matthew 7, 13 and 14 says, enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. And of the leadership that set the bad example through their walk, and did not seek truth to feed the sheep God entrusted to them, God says in Jeremiah 23:1, "Woe to the shepherds who destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture," says the Lord. Humanism instead of the Rhema word. Not all non-productive teachers should be classified as false teachers, but simply labeled as the product of the lukewarm church. Many in the denominational church are not even spirit-filled, and so operate entirely out of a spirit of intellect and human reason. Without the infilling of the Holy Spirit, things of the Spirit seem foolish to them, and so the sheep are fed man's thinking instead. In 1 Corinthians 2:13-14, Paul backs this statement and sentiment, and he says, "These things we also speak, not in words, which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man, who's without the infilling of the Holy Spirit, does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned." Again, a person that is not spirit-filled with evidence of speaking in tongues can only teach what they know in the natural, because the Holy Spirit is not in them to share his knowledge. They do not function in the gifts of the Spirit either, and so are unable to even recognize word of knowledge or word of wisdom, and can rely only on human wisdom and man's education. The above scripture states it should be the Holy Spirit who does the teaching. Look back at 1 Corinthians 2:13. So in closing, a good teacher, especially one that's called to the office, is one who dies to their own human thinking and worldly intellect to let the Spirit of God teach through him or her. They will allow the gifting vested within them and the anointing of God that is on them to drive truth home the way no other office can. They are ones the great teacher, Rabboni, walks through today. Through them, he will educate the flock of God concerning the knowledge of Christ until they become the full stature of his body, so he can lead the church victorious from Christianity to the church eternal. You see, the true teacher is one that's going to teach against all false doctrine in the church, with the biggest one being, once saved, always saved.
Revelation flashes, God's voice in thunder peals. We're polishing our armor and gathering our shields. We're setting up our standard, we're making our wall strong. Responding to our destiny to bring down Babylon. Boldly blow the trumpets, we'll sound them loud and clear, to wake the dead up off the streets so they can arise in fear. They're lying in a pool of blood, of carnal works and strife. They must repent and hear the truth to remain in the book of life. But the church says once saved, always saved. Sorry, you are wrong. Believe this lie and you will die a part of Babylon.
Okay, friend, that wraps up this lecture on the teacher and concludes our series on the fivefold ministry, which we call the government or hand of God. And as always, I hope you've enjoyed it. If you want to know more about us, visit our website at www.trumpetsoftruth.com. May you be blessed in all that you do, in Jesus' name.